Blog Talk Radio.
To God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning. Welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda. I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today, unfortunately, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins will not be with us this morning due to illness, but she will return back on next week. So she is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and she brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speaks. Praise be to God. My devotional message for this morning is entitled, Let Thankfulness Rule in Your Heart. Amen. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Colossians 3:15. And it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. In Acts 9 and 18, immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. Praise be to God. My third scripture reading is coming from Revelation chapter 19, verses 3 through 6. And it says, and again they shouted, hallelujah. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne. And they cried, amen, hallelujah. Then a voice came from the throne saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Praise be to God. And my fourth scripture reading is coming from Psalms 100, verse 4. And it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Again, the title, let thankfulness rule in your heart. As you thank me for blessings in your life, a marvelous thing happens. It is as if scales fall off your eyes, enabling you to see more and more of my glorious riches. With your eyes thus open, you can help yourself to whatever you need. From my treasure house time, you receive one of my golden gifts. Let your thankfulness sing out praise to my name. Hallelujah are the language of heaven, and they can become the language of your heart. A life of praise and thankfulness becomes a life filled with miracles. Instead of trying to be in control, you focus on me and what I am doing. This is the power of praise, centering your entire being in me. This is how I created you to live. For I made you in my own image. Enjoy abundant life by overflowing with praise and thankfulness. Praise be to God. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. Praise be to God. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. And I pray that each and every one of you had a very happy and thankful Thanksgiving on Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We were not on, but praise be to God, we are here this morning to give him the glory and honor. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. my heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory,
God, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And now at this time, we are going to say good morning to Father God. Amen.
Way. Does it matter how long that it will take? The Lord knows my heart anyway, so just pray. Whether sunshine or rain, I have the breath of life this day. I'll give the Lord thanks and pray every day that I awake. Good morning, Lord. 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 Good morning, Lord.
Amen. Good morning, Lord. Good morning. The Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. And now again, at this time, I will come with a word from the Lord. Like I said earlier, Apostle Mother Wiggins is not feeling well, so she will not be bringing the message this morning, but I will be. First of all, let us pray. Father God, we come this morning as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you on this thankful week for everything that you have done, everything that you're doing, and everything that you're going to do. We thanking you for life, strength, health, wisdom, and understanding. We thanking you for waking us up this morning, clothing our right mind, divine healing in our bodies, Lord God. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine out today. Lord God, we don't know what this day is going to bring, but whatever it be, we pray that you will be with us to guide us each step of the way, and let your will be done in our lives. Not our will, but your will be done. We thank you for this season of the birth of your son, where we're getting ready to go into our Christmas story of the birth of Christ. And we thank you for our friends and for our loved ones. We thank you for our neighbors. We thank you for even for our enemies, Lord God. We thank you for the nation of Israel and Jerusalem. Bless each and every one in your own special way and guide us all in the way that you would have us to go. Bless our president and vice president and their families. Bless those in authorities and their families. Touch them, Lord God, in a special way that they will do the right thing for the people and for the country. Then make the right decisions, Lord God. And Lord, as I bring forth this word, let it be all of you and none of me. Bless, pray one for another. Bless House of the Lord Online Ministry and all of those that are connected to it. Bless the fivefold ministry. Bless House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And there's just let this word be what you would have it to be this morning. And we ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus. And Lord God, we ask that you bless and heal Apostle Mother Wiggins from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet and guide her in the way that you would have her to go this morning and every day, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. My title, my scripture reading for this morning is coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, and we're going to read verses 1 through 19, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, amen, and this is about Jesus appears to the seven disciples. Now later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "Well, come. We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples could not see who he was. He called out, "Fellas, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they could not haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed to shore. The others stayed with him in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, but they were only 100 yards from shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you have just caught," Jesus said. Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord, but then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead. The breakfast Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied. You know I love you. Then feed my lambs, Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, Jesus said. Third time he asked them, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said, then feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take care and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Amen. The title of my message this morning is A Tender Moment. Praise be to God. One second to write. Okay. A Tender Moment. Praise be to God. Okay, so there was a certain man who had been faithful in worshiping with others, believers, for many years. Then he became lax and stopped coming to the service. The pastor was burdened for his spiritual welfare. So one day he called in his home. The man invited him in and offered him a chair by the fire. The pastor mentioned to the man how much he missed seeing him in the worship service. The man replied that he was saved and saw no need to go to church. He felt that he could worship just fine at home. For several long moments, they sat in the silence and watched the burning embers. Then, taking the tongs, the pastor removed a hot coal and laid it by itself on the hot stone. As it began to cool, its red glow soon faded. The man, who had been expecting a verbal rebuke, quickly caught the message. He was at church for the next service. Now, this is a fact of life that we have become very familiar with over these last 21 years. There have been many occasions when we have failed the Lord, and we seen the flame of love and devotion burn very low within our hearts and life. When those times came around, we had to come before the Lord, confessing our sins and failures and seeking forgiveness and restoration. Each time we have come to him for cleansing, we have found him to be a faithful friend to those who have fallen by the wayside. Now today, we would like to speak directly to those who aren't as close to the Lord today as you should be. maybe the things of God aren't as sweet as they used to be. And maybe there isn't a hot, burning love for the Lord, his house, his word, and his people like there used to be. Maybe even your church attendance has become a thing of drudgery and toil. My duty today is to tell you that it does not have to stay that way. Jesus Christ is still the friend of the fallen today. Now, in my text, we are told about a face-to-face encounter between the risen Lord Jesus and Simon Peter. It was Peter, you will remember, who denied the Lord three times. As we look into how the Lord handled Peter, I want you to know that he can and will do the same for you if you will respond in the correct manner. It's tough being out of the Lord's will, but it is possible to make things right again. With that in mind, let's take a few minutes to consider together a tender moment. Amen. Now, the purpose of this tender moment in Matthew 26:69-75, before we can see how the Lord restored this fallen preacher, we must first understand what happened to Peter and how he came to be fallen in the first place. Now, the place of his failure, which is Peter, was in the wrong place altogether. In the beginning, Peter had made his boast that he would never forsake the Lord. He find that in Luke 22:33-34. And yet, when the time came and Jesus was arrested, Peter, like all the others, forsook Jesus and fled in Matthew 26:56. However, verse 58 tells us that Peter decided to follow the Lord and see what happened, but that he followed Jesus afar off. When Peter found himself surrounded by the Lord's enemies, it became hard for him to stand by his earlier boast. Now, he takes the low road and denies that he even know the Lord Jesus in verses 69-74. Essentially, all backslidings begins in the same manner. Instead of staying as close to the Lord as we should, we begin to follow him afar off. It may begin as simply, missing a few services here and there. Or maybe you just stop praying like you should. Or maybe the Bible isn't open and read as frequently as it ought to be. Wherever and however it begins, it will eventually lead to the same place. It will eventually lead you into a backsliding and cold condition. Now, Peter's problem was that he found himself in the wrong place with the wrong people. My dear brothers and sisters, being just as clear as I can be with you, some of you are in the wrong place also. You aren't as close to the Lord as you used to be. You need to rekindle that old flame and make things right with him. Being in the wrong place is dangerous. Just ask David in 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 17 when you have the time to read it. Amen. Now, the pain of his failure. When Peter denied the Lord that night, the Bible tells us that he went out and wept bitterly. Now, Peter was miserable in his new condition. He knew that he had wronged the Lord. He knew that he had violated something very precious and sacred. He was a miserable man. So it is with every child of God who decides to walk away from the will of God. You will soon realize that sin brings with it pain, suffering, and misery. Proverbs 13 and 15, gone will be the peace of God and the sense of God's presence. Gone will be his power and that joy in the soul that is worth more than gold. Sin is a thief and a robber. It steals youth and beauty. It destroys innocence and effectiveness. Sin has the ability to make you into a very miserable person. And we all know some miserable people in our lives. Amen. The prodigal son in Luke 15, 11 through 17, was he happy in the pig pen? No. When the friends and the money was gone? No. His primary thought was of how much better off he had been back in his father's house. Sin will make you miserable. And if it doesn't, then you probably aren't saved. Hebrews 12 and 8. God loves you so much that he will allow you to sin if you choose to. But he loves you too much to allow you to enjoy it. Think about that. The price of his failure. After Peter sinned, he felt a definite loss of fellowship, peace, and joy. He knew that things were different. I am speaking primarily to those who claim to know Jesus as the personal Savior today. You need to know that when you decide to walk a different way than the Lord intends, your decision carries it with it a very high price tag. If you are saved, then you can expect to lose much when you walk away from the Lord. You can never lose your salvation, but you will feel like you have. You can most certainly lose your fellowship with the Lord. There will be the loss of peace, joy, and contentment. You don't want to lose that. There will be the loss of blessings and rewards. Sin is a cruel taskmaster, and it will beat you silly. And by the way, if you persist in your sin and rebel against the Lord's effort to call you home, then there is a sin unto death for the child of God. 1 John 5 and 16, 1 Corinthians 5:5. Now to come to confront Peter's foolishness, his foolishness is revealed in his choices. After the resurrection, Peter must have assumed that his ministry was over. He had denied the Lord, and so he decided to return to the old way of life. I am sure that he might have tried to justify it by saying, well, I have a family to support. Whatever the motivation Peter had been caused for to forsake all those things and to follow Jesus in Matthew 4 and 19, the Lord's call have been a call to come and be a fisherman of men. Now, people who are out of God's will always make the wrong choices. They always base the decision on fleshy motives rather than spiritual ones. They have lost the ability to hear the voice of the Spirit. He is your moral compass, and failing to hear him will cause you to wander off course. There may be some here today who have started to go back to the old life. You may even be able to justify it to some degree, at least to your own satisfaction. But you need to know today that if you are not following the Lord and loving him like you should, like Peter, you too are backsliding and out of God's will. That may sound harsh, but those are just the facts. Your spiritual condition shows on you. It shows in the priority you place on the things of God. Don't think for a minute that you are fooling anyone, no one, that is, but yourself. Now, his compassion, when Peter went back to the old life, he took others with him. These other disciples weren't as sold out to the Lord as they should have been either. If they had been, they would have been waiting for their marching orders. After all, Jesus had told them to go into Galilee and wait for him in Matthew 28:10. Have you noticed that sin loves company? When a person backslides, they usually aren't content to go it all alone, and they will try to drag others down with them. You see it in the families all the time. One will get cold on the Lord, and before long, everyone in the family is out of God's will. What a shame it is when we feel the need to drag others into the same foolish pit into which we have placed ourselves. What's equally sad is the fact that there always seem to be those who are willing to follow the wayward child of God. Why are things this way? We ask this question. Well, because we like to surround ourselves with people who are about the same level as we are. If we are right with God, we want to be around others who are right with God. And if we are out of God's will, we feel rebuked by the lies of those who are living for the Lord and seek out those who are like we are. But sadly, we will often try to reduce our spiritual temperature in the lives of those who are close to us. Now, this is merely an effort to make self more comfortable. Now, the consequences Peter and his cronies fished all night long and did not catch a single fish. Most of these men had been professional fishermen before they met the Lord, and this must have been a devastating thing to have to deal with. They toiled and labored all the night and produced nothing of value. This is just the way it works for those who are out in sin. No matter what they try to accomplish in their own strength, it always comes to naught. The prodigal son found this out as he sat in the pig's pen and watched the hogs eat those husks. He could not even fill his own belly through self-effort. I would like to remind every person in this sanctuary today that you are totally dependent on Jesus Christ for everything. John 15:5. You can produce nothing of lasting value in your own effort. Some might argue that they have been living a slack Christian life and that they are still thriving and prospering materially and physically. May I remind you that both of those things are temporarily and will soon pass away. In the final analysis, all that lasts are those things you do through Jesus. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. Many Christians will see their entire lives go up in flames before their very eyes. What will happen when you face Jesus? In verses 4:17, the provision of this tender moment, even though Peter had wandered into sin, he still hadn't gone so far that the Lord had stopped loving him. Peter still had a friend in a very high place, and that friend made all the difference for Peter, and he will for you also. In verse 4 through 7, Jesus found Peter after the sin, after the return of the old life, after a long night of failure. Jesus stepped onto the scene and in a few minutes turned everything around and made things like they ought to be. What made the difference? There was a change in Peter. Let's notice three things that changed when Jesus came by. In verse 5, Peter was forced to admit his failure. This is the very step in coming back home. There must be an acknowledgement of sin and wrongdoing. John 1:9. The prodigal son recognized this also in Luke 15:18. In verse 6, Peter started to obey Jesus again. He stopped doing things Peter's way. He stopped doing things Peter's way and started doing things the Lord's way. Now, this brought success where there had been only failure. Verse 7, Peter has a renewed desire to be near the Lord. He wasn't willing to wait for a more convenient time, but went to meet the Lord immediately. This was also true of the prodigal son in Luke 15:20. Now, if you are one of those who have wandered away from the Father's house and are presently walking in the far country, then you need to know that you still have a friend in Jesus. He hasn't forgotten you. He hasn't forsaken you. He still loves you as much right now as he ever has. He just wants you to come to the place Peter came to. He wants you to be willing to confess your sins, begin again, to follow him and just love him like you ought to. And by the way, no matter where you run, the Lord will find you. He will not let you get away. He has too much invested in your life. Why not come home right now before things really get tough? Why not repent while there is still time to serve the Lord this side of the grave? Okay, it is now 10:51, and I'm going to stop here, and I will pick it up another time, a tender moment. I hope that this message was a blessing unto you as it was unto me. And if time permits, if our guest doesn't show up. So before I come back and give the call to salvation and the benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. Amen. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing?
I'm blessed. Thank you. Praise God.
Is my sound okay? I have the Bluetooth on.
Yes. Yes, you're fine.
Okay. If it changes, let me know.
I will.
Thank you. How was Thanksgiving?
Quiet. And very, very, too much eating, let's put it that way. I tried, but, you know, when food tastes so good like that, sometimes you become a glutton.
Yeah, sometimes it's hard to stop. Okay.
Oh, yes.
All right, I'll be reading poem from my book, The Profundity of God, a Spiritual Anthology in Poetry, entitled, For the Things You Do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I'm alive and fine, doing well. Nobody got shot lately, and nobody went to jail. I survived, even thrived. I am alive. I am well. God, you are spectacularly divine. You never fail. I'm yours and you're mine. I thank you every day. But this is a special day, one in which to say that over the Thanksgiving holiday, you, God, you were and are supreme. You are my provider. You sustain my life. With sustenance, you sustain. I never even have to think twice. You make old things new again, and you make the new things familiar. You make me laugh, make me reflect, make me want to select to do whatever I do your way, and to do right, and to obey. And everyone knows Yahweh, that your ways are always the best. I count on you, Lord Jesus. Your words give spirit, they give life. Your ways are way past finding out. Your wisdom, Lord, is phenomenal. You, thank you for providing for me. Thank you for my family. Thank you for all that you do, for the little things, for the big things, for the secret things, too. You're always there for me. You never run. You never flee. It's amazing the things you do just for me. Things I don't like. You turn around and you do them just for me. You're so giving, Lord, and I know I don't always deserve you and the merciful and miraculous things that you do. I can't earn or buy it.
Hello? You went away.
Hello?
You went away.
I got another call is what happened.
Oh, okay.
So I hope that it's okay now?
Yes. So far.
Okay. You are a do-right God, and you're holy. I love you. I love everything that you do. Life is good. You are faithful. You're good. And you're the truth. Yes, I'm blessed. I can't stop saying thank you. And God, I love you. Amen.
Amen. That is just so beautiful. Oh, just loving everything that God does for us. It's,
Yes.
Oh, man. I mean, words cannot even explain the things that he does for us.
Yes, of the Lord. That's right.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Mm-mm. Not enough at all.
Mm.
Okay, so I don't know if Pastor Kathy is going to be with us, but I'm going to play a selection. And if she doesn't, then I will continue the message for this morning instead.
Okay. How's that? How's Mother, Apostle Mother?
She says she's a little sore this morning, so she's not really up to par.
Okay.
But other than that, she's okay. You know, like when you have a fall and stuff, it takes a while for the old bones and them to react. Because in the beginning, when you first do it, it's like, you know, you're in shock. But then when that shock wears off, that's when everything starts to hurt.
You starts talking.
Yes, the stiffness and everything sets in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I called her. I spoke with her.
Yes, so, I did too.
Thanksgiving. That went. Anyway, I just wondered what happened.
Yeah, she's okay. It's just that she wasn't feeling too up to it this morning. So I was expecting it. So I know, because if she could, she would have been here. But, you know, like I said, it's only things like that will keep her from doing God's will on this, on the program, you know. But she'll be fine. So we're just going to keep her up in prayer.
Definitely.
And hope and pray for the best, you know. Okay, so I will play us a little selection, all to the glory of God. Amen.
Sure.
All to the glory of God. All to the glory of God. In all that we do, no matter where we are. In the fullness of his blessing, nothing is possible without God. We come to know his mercy, humbling ourselves to his mountain. As far as the eye can see, he owns the cattle on a thousand hills. His love knows no bounds. His goodness always true, and he's coming in the clouds. Restore our souls brand new. Oh,
So still there's no word from Pastor Kathy yet, but I will play another selection. And then if she's not with us after this selection, then I'll just continue with the message for this morning. Praise be to God.
I'll provide the sacrifice. overflow in my heart and permeate all my soul. All my soul is yours.
Amen. Praise be to God. Precious and Heavenly Father, again, we come as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for everything that you are doing, going to do, and have done in our lives. Bless each and every one this morning as who are listening to the sound of my voice and the words that is coming out of my mouth, not my words, but your words, Lord God. Thank you for them. Thank you for those who show up in the spirit and those who did not but had the desire to. We thank you for everything that you have blessed us with. We thank you for a roof over our head, food on our tables, and clothes on our backs. We thank you for just being who you are, a loving and wonderful Savior. Thank you for sending your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we may have eternal life in your kingdom when he comes again. We praise you, we honor and adore you. There's not enough words that we could say to magnify you, Lord God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And at this time, I am going to come back with the conclusion of the message this morning earlier, a tender moment. And again, the scripture reading for that was John chapter 21, verses 1 through 19. And we stop at verse B, verses 9 through 14, where Jesus said, Peter. Now when Peter and the other disciples reached the shore, they found that Jesus had a fire prepared with fish already cooking. They found there with the Savior all the things they needed after being out on that boat all night long. They found food, warmth, and fellowship. They found a Savior who loved them and who had all the provisions in place that they needed. Everything they lacked out on that boat, they found when they came to Jesus. And that is just like us today. Everything that we are lacking in this life, all we have to do is go to Jesus and he will provide all those things for us. Amen? So now, my dear sisters and brothers, some of you have toiled and labored since you have been away from the Lord. You're miserable. There is no peace and no joy in your life. And you need to get right with the Lord. So let me encourage you today to come back to Jesus. When you do, you will find that he still loves you and that he has all the things you lack while you were away from him. When you are away from Jesus, life is miserable. You're always angry. You don't want to be bothered. But the best part about that is that when you do come back to Jesus, he welcomes you with open arms. No questions asked. Welcome. Now, this is illustrated very clearly in the parable of the prodigal son. And we all, well, most of us know the story about the prodigal son. So when that boy who had squandered the family fortune, disgraced the family name, and allowed himself to wallow in the depths of sin, he came home. He found a father who had everything waiting for him that he had lacked in the far country. Amen. He found a waiting father. He found compassion. He found love. He found forgiveness. He found cleansing. He found total restoration. And he found food for his hungry soul. I am here to tell you today that if you will return to the Father today, you too will find all this and more waiting on you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you and desires to have a close fellowship with you. Why not come home today and find out for yourself that there is a friend for the falling? In verses 15 through 17, Jesus freed Peter. Now, in these verses, we find that the Lord Jesus recommissioning Simon Peter for service. I am sure that Peter felt that his work and ministry was forever gone. But Jesus came to call him back into the fight. This was a time of unique fellowship and restoration between Jesus and Simon Peter. Now, in these few verses, Jesus freed Peter from the bondage of his sin and failure and set him back about the business of serving the Lord and his church. Amen. And he will do the same for you and for me. The same will be true for every backsliding child of God who returns to the Father's house today. Not only will he forgive your sins, but he can restore you to a place of service for his glory. He will put you back on the battlefield. He longs to meet with you today and to put you back into that place of service. You still have a friend in Jesus, regardless of how far you have fallen. Jesus is right there to pick you up. Now in verses 18 through 19 is the promise of this tender moment. So what would the future hold for this restored man of God? Well, these verses tells us the answer to that question. In verses 18 through 19, the promise of sacrifice. Now, Peter would eventually give his life for the Lord, who had saved him and who had restored him. Peter's call was literally to follow Jesus unto death. Tradition states that Peter was eventually put to death by crucifixion, and that at his own request, he requested it. Not they did it. Peter requested. Tradition states that Peter, he was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to die like his Lord. That's a hard decision to make. But for Peter, it was an easy decision. Now, if you decide to come home today and make a renewed commitment to the Lord Jesus, you need to know that this thing is serious. It's no joke. You don't play with God. God expects you to be serious about your decision, and he expects you to follow him in a sacrificial lifestyle that places his will above your own. That's why we always have to say, Lord, let your will be done, not ours. That is the only formula for true success in the Christian life. In verse 19, the promise of service. Now, Peter is told that his life from this moment forward is to glorify the Lord. He is no longer to live for himself, but in everything, he is to live for the glory of God. God's plan is the same for every born-again child of God. His will is that you and I live lives that are pleasing in his sight and that brings glory and honor to his wonderful name. 1 Corinthians 10:31. There are no doubt many who need to come today and repent of living for self, make a change, and get up to live for Jesus. Verse 19 also talks about the promise of surrender. The last thing Jesus does is to give Peter this command, which is, follow me. The last call is the same as the first. When Jesus found Peter and called him, the first time, this was his commandment. In Matthew 4:19, when he recommissioned Peter, he issued the same call. Now, this tells us that the Lord hasn't changed his mind about Peter or about Peter's duty before the Lord. Regardless of how deep you may have fallen into sin, please, my brothers and sisters, know today that the Lord hasn't changed his mind about you or me. You might want to repent and come home to him, but feel that if you do, you will be some kind of second-class saint. That is just not true. God gives the same command to you today that he gave to Peter then. Follow me. All Jesus wants from you and me is a surrendered life, one that is lived for the glory of God, one that exalts him, and one that is lived in his will and service. He simply wants you to follow him. God is the God, is the second chance. And my conclusion is, I would like to bring this message to a close by asking, what does your future hold for you? Does it hold chastisement, misery, and difficulty? Or does it hold joy, peace, blessings, and glory for the Lord? The answer all depends on what you do right now. Some of you, like Peter, may be toiling while Jesus stands calling out to you today. Please understand that you do not have to remain at a distance from him today. If this message has found you lost and on your way to hell, then I invite you to come to Jesus right now. He loves you and wants to save your soul. I know I have preached primarily to save people, and what they will face if they do not repent is bad. But dear lost friends, if you do not come to Jesus, you are eternally lost and are headed to hell with no hope. Forever lost, forever doomed, and forever damned. Do not let that happen to you. If this message found you backsliding, then I invite you to come back to the Father's house right now. He stands ready to receive, to forgive, and to restore. And if you will only come back home, I have delivered the message as it was delivered to me. And now, the final decision is yours. What will it be? Tough or tender? You decide. Amen. Praise be to God. I hope this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. A tender moment. How would you feel when you meet Jesus in that tender moment? Praise be to
Amen.
God.
Thank you.
And if, praise be to God, thank you. And if you have not accepted him as your personal Savior, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have accepted this prayer, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based teaching church. Amen? Praise God. So, and my benediction is coming from Jude 24:25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Everything today has turned out the way that God would have it to be. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So maybe this message was supposed to have been preached this morning to someone who has not given their life to Christ.
That's right.
Yes.
Thank you.
You are very, very welcome. Enjoy. I'm just going to finish out with music, so if you have something to So enjoy the rest of your weekend, because I don't know, the days went by so fast. I mean, like, if one minute it was Wednesday and now today is Saturday. Yes.
To God be the glory.
Amen, amen. And that wind was kicking out there last night. It was so windy and cold.
Mm-hmm. You had rehearsal last night?
No, thank God. Yep, we didn't have rehearsal last night, so.
So what'd you have for Thanksgiving?
The usual turkey, greens, mac and cheese, ham, potato salad, and apple pie with a scoop of ice cream for dessert.
You cook?
Heck no. Nope.
Went out.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, I didn't
good.
Go out. I stayed in, but, you know, family members, they send food.
Okay. Is your daughter still with you?
Yes.
Okay. Give her my regards also.
I will. I will. So, God bless you, and thank you for showing up in the spirit, and to each and everyone that is listening to us on Facebook, YouTube, and wherever, Block Talk Radio, wherever you get to listen to our broadcast. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Apostle Speaks with our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins, who could not be with us today, but always, always in our prayers. Amen.
Definitely. I won't be on with you all tomorrow because, God willing, I have a Women's Day at church.
Uh-huh.
And that starts at 3 o'clock, so I'll let Lady Nadine know, but at this point, I will not be available.
Okay, but you will be highly missed.
Well, thank you. At this point, God willing, I will be with you on Tuesday to continue our basic
study. Oh,
yes. Amen. So enjoy your weekend. Love you. I will be listening until noon if I can, and I think I can.
Okay.
Have a blessed weekend. Love you so.
You too. Love you too. And if you have to go out, be careful.
Yes, ma'am. No, I don't intend to, but yes.
Okay. God bless. Okay. Love you.
Love you
too. On that note, shalom, I'm going to play God is Sustaining. Well, I should say us, but it's sustaining me. But it means all of us. Amen.
Lord have mercy. Come on, y'all, let's assemble. We gonna have a church. When I look back on my life and I think about all the hills and all the valleys, I can thank God that I can stand here before you today and testify about his goodness. You see, tomorrow is not promised to us. But I woke up early one morning and the words to this song came to me. And it goes a little something like this. Come on, fellas. Come on and sing for the Lord. You see, God is sustaining me. Let me tell you about it. Oh,
God. The price me, covered me in his blood. His love, only his love, restores my soul, restores my soul forever. When I'm in trouble, when I'm sick,
Jesus,
you see, he touched my body,
sustaining me,
and I can feel him all over me. Yes!
And no matter,
no matter what the touch, his blood. Somebody gotta cry out, Jesus,
sustaining me.
Sometimes you gotta call him,
Jesus.
You gotta call on him,
sustaining me.
My Lord.
God.
You are God.
Every praise. praise him now. He's worthy of the praise. I don't care what you've been through. Just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Praise be to God. Every praise belongs to him. And at this time, we are going to leave out on My God is Able. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We love you. And we are keeping each and every one up in prayer. To God be the glory. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And he's able.
Thank you.
The Bible says he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our God is able. He's able. Come to let you know that my God is able, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, yes. Oh, I come to let you know, oh, that my God is able. Yes, he is able to heal you now. Yes, my God is able. I think you don't know. I said, I come to let you know that the God of love, he is able. Yes, he is able to set you free, set you free, set you free, set you free. I came to let you know, oh, that my God is able, yeah, able to set you free. Yes, my God is able, oh, I came to let you know tonight, it's part of what you're going through, that my God is able, able to set you free. Oh, yes, my God is able. Yeah, 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 yeah. I came to let you know. Hey!
whatever you're going through tonight, just remember, my God is able.
That my God is able to set you free. Yes, my God is able. I come to let you know. You see, I'm trying to for myself, and I know that He's able. Yes, my God is able. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, I don't know what you're going through, but let me tell you a little bit about what I've been through. Yeah. See, I've been homeless, yeah. Didn't know where I was going to rest my head. But God is bigger. Hey, yeah. So I come to let you know tonight, there's nothing impossible for God.
Got your neighbor telling me, he's able.
Able.
Come on, say he's able. What you're bound with, drugs, sex, whatever it might be, God has the power to break you loose, and is able to come into your marriage and set you free. Is able to come into your life and deliver you. Whatever the problem might be, my God is able. Oh, why don't you just give him a try? Reach out to the Lord, call on his name, cause he's able. My God is able to release you, able to set you free, able to heal you, yes, able to deliver you, able to rescue you, able to hold you up, able to bring you out of whatever storm you might be going through. He is able to provide, yeah. He's able to make way out of no way. He's God that makes something out of nothing. Hallelujah, the creator of the heaven and the earth. My God is able, yes he is, yes he is. Oh, I know, I can't let you know that my God is able. Oh, come on, somebody worship the Lord. Somebody bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is worthy. Oh, somebody give him praise. Somebody give him glory. Give him worship. We worship you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, there is none like you. Because he's able. I said praise him because he's able. Praise him because he's able. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, we worship you. You able, Lord. You able, Lord.
Amen. Praise God. And that concludes our Apostle Speaks. That concludes our Pray One for Another program for this morning. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, and shalom, everyone.